Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Sarah Chaffee. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Ann Gager, who holds a PhD in zoology from the University of Washington and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard. She is a senior fellow of the Center for Science and Culture and serves as a scientist at Biologic Institute, as well as the director of science communications at the Center for Science and Culture. Welcome back, Dr. Gager.
Glad to be here.
What is apoptosis and how does it play into multicellular life?
Good question. Last time we talked about the body as a nation of cells. Sometimes to shape the body, it's necessary for some cells to die to make room for others. Sometimes in the case of disease, it's necessary for cells to die so that things don't get out of control. All of those deaths are sort of like self-sacrifice, which means it's not something that you would expect from Darwinism.
Does this take place in development?
Yes. In order for our bodies to be shaped properly, it's necessary for some cells to get out of the way, so to speak. So we start out life as a sheet of cells that needs to assume three-dimensional shapes. Some cells die to allow other cells to move into their places. It causes that sheet of cells to roll up into a tube, which becomes our brainstem, our brain and our nervous system. Other times, cells die in order to shape our ears and to cause our eyes to form. It happens when our arms and legs develop, our hands. They start out as paddle-like structures, or you can think of it as being like wearing mittens, and the cells in between the fingers die and cause us to have the fingers of our hands the way that we see them, not webbed like a duck's feet, for example. But the most significant thing for us is probably that babies are born with more neurons than they can use, and as they grow and learn, these neurons shape themselves. The ones with the most connections survive and make more connections. The ones that don't make connections die. And it's a pruning process by which the connections the brain needs are strengthened. When these cells die, it's a controlled process. It's not due to overwhelming damage, but actually something that's signaled to the cells, and then they undergo a process of a shutdown and degradation of their DNA, and then breaking apart into vesicles. And it's a genetic program. It's a part of the functioning possibilities of a cell. It's not due to damage necessarily, but something that there are genes that control.
How about disease or the immune system?
Okay. For the immune system, one of the first things that has to happen is for the immune system to recognize self from non-self. It wouldn't do us any good to have our immune system cells patrolling the body and destroying from within our own tissues. In fact, when the immune system doesn't get programmed properly, that results in disease where the immune system destroys tissues like the thyroid gland, causing Hashimoto's disease, or diabetes when they attack the pancreas, or if it's a general attack, lupus. How does that get prevented? Well, in the early development of the immune system, they pass through an organ called the thymus, and in that organ, they get tested to see whether the molecules they carry on their surface recognize self from non-self. And if they recognize self and would attack cells bearing self molecules, then those immune system cells get triggered to undergo apoptosis. They destroy themselves so that they don't end up destroying the body. As for disease, if a cell gets infected by a virus, it will frequently trigger apoptosis. The cell knows it's sick. Turns on the process by which it self-destructs. In the case of cancer, in early stages, it can happen that cells recognize that something's not right and they trigger apoptosis. to protect the organism as a whole. One of the steps on the way to full-blown cancer is to eliminate the process of apoptosis so that the cells become immortal. They won't suicide.
What does the analogy of the cell as a city say regarding design?
Well, for the case of apoptosis, the self-defense mechanism that the body engages in where cells suicide, that is not something that you would expect to develop by a neo-Darwinian process. Neo-Darwinism is supposed to be about survival of the fittest. And from a strictly survival of the fittest approach, cells should seek to reproduce at the cost of other cells. There would be no reason for them to cooperate, and certainly no reason for self-sacrifice, like apoptosis would be. It is a sacrificial thing for cells to die in order for some other process to take place. Cells that die in order for the body to be properly shaped. That is not something that I can envision taking place as a result of neo-Darwinism. Nobody knows for sure how apoptosis came about, but we do know that it's necessary for multicellular life. It's been around since the dawn of multicellular life, but it's not a process that one would predict would happen by neo-Darwinism. Yet, there it is. It's a program for cells to kill themselves when necessary for the sake of other cells. One more thing. In talking about apoptosis, the point that I've made repeatedly is that it's for a purpose to pave the way for other cells to cause shape changes, to prevent disease, to protect the body. All of that implies intentionality or a purpose. And that's the sort of thing that intelligent design can account for, but not neo-Darwinism, which is a blind process and cannot foresee a greater good.
Well, thank you for joining us on the show today, Dr. Gager.
My pleasure.
This is Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for joining us. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.